forget that dreadful vigil, broken only by the cry of the occasional nightbird outside, and once a long-drawn-out snuffling whine from the window, which told us the cheater had found us and had come to investigate. But for the rest, no light, no sound, no movement. Nothing but the sense of my companion sitting open-eyed within a few feet of me, and in the same state of nervous tension as myself. Far away, we heard the deep boom of the parish clock as it tolled the quarters, and how long each one seemed. But gradually the hours slipped by. Midnight, one, two, three. Then suddenly a gleam of light appeared at the ventilator, to vanish immediately. A moment later came the strong smell of burning oil and heated metal. Someone in the next room had lit a dark lantern and drawn its shutter. For half an hour there was no other sound. And then my ears picked up something. Something very strange in being just audible, yet also somehow very soothing. Altogether like a small jet of steam escaping continually from a kettle.
You see it, Watson? You see it?
Where?
Holmes?
What? What is it?
Stay back, Watson. Stay back, man. If you value your life. The devil, it's escaped me. Let's go back.
Back, Holmes. Where? What has?
Good God, Holmes. What was that? What does he mean?
That it's over. And perhaps, after all, it's for the best. Take your pistol, and we shall enter Dr. Roylott's room.
And it was a singular sight that met our eyes. On the table in Roylott's chamber stood the dark lantern, throwing a beam of light onto the safe, the door of which was ajar. Beside the table, on the wooden chair, sat Dr. Grimesby Roylott, clad in a long dressing gown, his bare feet thrust into red heelless Turkish slippers. Across his lap lay the short whip with a small loop tied in its end. But it was his face. His chin was cocked upwards, his eyes fixed on the ceiling in a dreadful rigid stare. Across his brow he had a peculiar yellow band with brownish speckles, which seemed to be bound tightly round his head.
The band. The speckled band.
For God's sake, Holmes. What is it?
Swamp adder. Most venomous snake in India. Death within 10 seconds. Indeed, does violence recoil on the violent and the schemer fall into the pit which he digs for another. And now, I'll try to distract it with a cane. You go for the noose, then into the safe. Right. Right.
Right. Well done, old man. Well done.
What a dreadful way to die.
Oh, indeed.
And that cry. What agony he was.
Why, Miss Stoner?
My heart. Oh.
Yeah, no, Miss Stoner. I do not come in. There is nothing there you would want to see.
You are wrong, Mr. Holmes. I must see. I beg you to stand aside.
Miss Stoner.
What was it?
A snake, Miss Stoner. Another of the doctor's deadly pets, but one that turned on its master.
His face, just like Julius. So that's what he used. But why?
For the third of your mother's legacy that he would have lost by Julia's marriage as he would yours.
So monstrous a deed for so derisory a sum. Who would believe it?
Exactly. I wonder, Miss Stoner, if I might advance an idea with a view to canvassing your opinion. The doctor is dead, through, it might be argued, his own carelessness. However, any hint that his death was not so simple would, I feel, lead to prolonged and searching inquiries, public inquiries, in which your name and that of your sister would figure largely.